together in God's house to worship him as members of the family of God. Now, how impressive is that? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now we have proof of God's love all around us, right? His love and mercy are all around us. The blooming trees, Kathleen's watering eyes and sneezing and coughing, that's total proof that the beauty of God is blooming and budding all around us right now. Just think about it, the bird's song in the morning. Do you not just love that? It's such a joy, looking at the flowers and the trees. It's just glorious. So I want us to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer right now and thank him for all that he does for us every day. Lord God, good morning. What a beautiful morning it is. Thank you for our creation that you've blessed us with to live in. This holy, beautiful planet that you've given us. Help us to appreciate it every day. Thank you for loving us and forgiving us. Thank you for all of the rich, wonderful blessings that you give us every day. We are so grateful. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place right now. Fill us to overflowing so that we can be a bright light in a dark world. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. And now, please join me in celebrating the song For the Beauty of the Earth. Jesus promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He told us to take heart because he has overcome the world. So why do we give in to fear and shame, I ask? We all have different struggles in our lives, amen? We have to face these difficulties in life, and sometimes we get upset and feel a little sorry for ourselves. I think everyone understands that. But then Satan creeps on in and uses that fear and shame to attack us right at our lowest point. But guess what, my brothers and sisters? We are so loved by God. He loved us so much, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Stand in Your Love is a song we can sing to remind us in those struggles to whom we belong.
The shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
I believe that God has called every human being at some point in their lives, but not everyone responds to that call. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus is calling you now into his presence. Run into his open arms and let his love surround you. Jesus loves me.
He is for me.
into the light. When he called my name, I couldn't run.
I'd like to ask you to just take a moment and greet someone you haven't greeted in a while. We can do it now, right? Come on.
Well, at this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message and ask you to kind of stay in your family groups. Good morning. Well, I brought something with me today, and maybe you have something like this. So it's a picture. And you might have family portraits at home. And you can see we have some things in common, like we all have brown hair. And maybe, let's see, they've got their dad's nose. And I think Michelle and Rachel have my chin. So we share some traits in common. And Michelle, it's kind of interesting, her great-great-grandfather was an artist who was a printmaker, and her grandmother was an artist who was a printmaker, and Michelle is an artist who's a printmaker. So we pass things on down in our family, right? And you can probably think of some things that you have in common with your family members. Maybe you look like your mom, or you look like your dad. We have some folks say, no, I don't look like them. You two kind of look alike to me. You share a few qualities, right? But some things, you know, so our scripture today talks about how we're all part of the family of God. So does that mean like, you know, we have the same nose, we have the same hair color, because we're all part of the same family? No, not really. But we do share. But God calls us. He says, you know, I'm your father, and you're my children. And so the things we have in common is that we, for one, we love each other, right? You know, you don't want to just go around kicking people in the shins because you're not happy with them. Well, maybe you want to, but you don't, because you're part of the family of God. And, you know, so we share some other things, like we do try to, like, to pray and do those things. So those are the qualities we share as part of the family of God. And maybe we share that we like to have fun together as part of the family of God. So remember, you have been adopted into a big family. All these people here are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and they love you, and that's a wonderful thing. So let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks that you have made us part of your family, that big, loving family. So help us to share that love. Amen. Thank you, guys, and I think you can go on to Children's Church.
Good The scripture reading for today is John 3, 1 through 7. It's a responsive reading. See what the love the Father has given us, or has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. All who is hoping to purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he has revealed to take his sins or take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous.
It is good to be with you on this spring morning. Like Kathleen, I know it's spring because my eyes are itchy and my nose is watering, but also because I saw on my way to the church this morning, I saw a flock of wild turkeys and some rabbits and a lot of birds. Beautiful out there. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of new life springing forth. Lord, as we consider your word, as we consider what it means to be part of the family of God, help us to understand what that means, what that claim is on our lives, what it is you are calling us to be, and what it is you're calling us to do. Amen. Well, I mentioned before that back in September, we adopted a pug named Doodles. She's 9 years old when we got her, and we knew she'd suffered some neglect because when she came to the adoption place, she was covered in fleas and she was very skinny, and you know, dogs that are part of rescue, they usually come with some baggage. She's, I think, our third rescue dog, and one of the things that she does is that whenever I show any physical affection towards my husband, she comes running up and barks at us. So if I hug him or he hugs me, Doodles is there barking at us. And, you know, and so sometimes we'll just pick her up and say, okay, it's group hug, and she relaxes. And so we wonder, like, what has this dog seen? And the foster person, Caitlin, who had her before us, she said the same thing, that, you know, if a man came to the door, Doodles would get all excited and sort of angry. And so, you know, we say, well, she's seen some stuff. We don't know exactly what it is, but how can you tell a dog? This is love. It's not anger. Nobody is attacking anyone. Nobody's getting hurt. Well, love is what this scripture today is about. And as I thought about it, a story that I was familiar with landed in my inbox, in my email inbox, and I thought I would share it with you. The first time I heard it, it was framed as a Christmas story. Edna Overstreet told this story at a Christmas program, and I thought, as she was telling this story, that it was a story about her life and her growing up. But then at the end of it, she said that she had adapted it from a story she heard on the radio. And then it came back around to me, and I realized that it really was an Easter story. So I want to share this Easter story, which has come to be called The Rich Family in Church. And you may have heard this before because it's gone all the way, literally all the way around the world. And so there's it begins... I'll never forget Easter 1946. I was 14, my little sister O.C. was 12, and my older sister Darlene was 16. We lived at home with our mother, and the four of us knew what it was like to be without many things. My dad had died 5 years before, and Mom, with seven school kids to raise, had no money. By 1946, my older sisters were married, and my brothers had moved away, and it was just the three of us at home. And so, a month before Easter, our pastor at the church announced that there would be a special Easter offering that would be taken to help a poor family, and he asked everyone to save and give sacrificially. Well, when we got home, we talked about what we could do. We decided to buy 50 pounds of potatoes and live on them for a month, and that would save on our grocery bill. And then we thought if we kept our electric lights turned out at night and didn't play the radio, that would save on our utility bill. And then my older sister Darlene got as many house and yard cleaning jobs as possible, and then OC and I, we got as many babysitting jobs as possible. And then we found out that for 15 cents, we could buy enough cotton loops to make potholders and sell them three potholders for a dollar. We made $20 on the potholders alone. That month was the best month of our lives. Every day we counted the money to see how much we had saved. And at night we'd sit in the dark and talk about how the poor family was going to enjoy having the money the church would give them. We had about 80 people in the church, and so we figured that whatever amount of money we had to give, the offering surely would be 20 times that. After all, every Sunday the pastor had reminded us to save for this sacrificial offering. Well, the day before Easter, Ossie and I walked to the grocery store and got the manager to give us three crisp $20 bills and a $10 bill. We ran all the way home to show Mom and Darlene we had never had so much money before. That night we were so excited we could hardly sleep. We didn't care that we wouldn't have new clothes for Easter. We had $70 for the sacrificial offering. We could hardly wait to get to church. On Sunday morning it was pouring down rain and my family didn't own an umbrella. The church was over a mile from our home, but it didn't seem to matter how wet we got. Darlene had cardboard in her shoes because she had a hole in the sole, and it got all wet, and her shoes filled up with water. But we sat in church proudly. I had heard some teenagers talking about how the Smith girls didn't have new Easter dresses. And I looked at them in their new clothes, but I felt rich. When the sacrificial offering was taken, we were sitting on the second row from the front. Mom put in the $10 bill, and each of us kids put in a 20. As we walked home after church, we sang all the way. And at lunch, Mom had a surprise for us. She had bought a dozen eggs and had boiled Easter eggs, and so we had boiled eggs with our potatoes. Well, late that afternoon, the minister drove up in his car. Mom went to the door, talked with him for a moment, and then she came back with an envelope in her hands. We asked what it was, but she didn't say a word. She opened the envelope, and out fell a bunch of money. There were three crisp $20 bills, one $10, and 17 $1 bills. Mom put the money back in the envelope. We didn't talk. We just sat and stared at the floor. We had gone from feeling like millionaires to feeling like poor white trash. We kids had such a happy life that we felt sorry for anyone who wasn't us, who didn't have a mom and dad like our parents and a house full of brothers and sisters and other kids constantly visiting. We thought it was fun to share the silverware and see whether we got the spoon or the fork that night. We had two knives that we passed around to whoever needed them, and I knew we didn't have a lot of things that other people had, but I never thought we were poor. That Easter day, I found out we were. The minister had brought us the money for the poor family, so we must be poor. I didn't like being poor. I looked at my dress and worn-out shoes, and I felt so ashamed. I didn't even want to go to church that day or want to go to church that next Sunday. Everyone probably knew we were poor. I thought about school. I was in the ninth grade and at the top of my class of over 100 students, and I wondered if the kids at school knew we were poor. I decided that maybe I should quit school. I had finished the eighth grade. That was all that the law said you had to do. That afternoon, we sat in silence for a long time. And then it got dark and we went to bed. And all that week, we girls went to school and came home, and no one talked very much. Finally, on Saturday, Mom asked us what we wanted to do with the money. Well, what did poor people do with money? We didn't know. We'd never known we were poor. We didn't want to go to church on Sunday, but Mom said we had to. And although it was a sunny day, we didn't talk very much on the way. Mom started to sing, but no one joined in, and she only sang one verse. At church, we had a missionary speaker. He talked about how churches in Africa made buildings out of sun-dried bricks, but they needed money to buy roofs. He said $100 would put a roof on a building. And the minister said, "Can't we all sacrifice to help these poor people?" We looked at each other and smiled for the first time in a week. Mom reached into her purse and pulled out the envelope. She passed it to Darlene. Darlene gave it to me, and I handed it to Aussie. And Aussie put it in the offering. And when the offering was counted, the minister announced that it was a little over $100. The missionary was excited. He hadn't expected such a large offering from such a small church. He said, "You must have some rich people in this church." And suddenly it struck us. We had given $87 of that $100. We were the rich people. We were the rich family in church. Hadn't the missionary said so? From that day on, I've never been poor again. I've always remembered how rich I am because I have Jesus. Well, the person who told this story is Eddie Smith Ogan. Her real first name is Edna, but everybody called her Eddie. Well, this story was sent out by Eddie to a list of missionaries that she wrote to faithfully every month. She wrote it hoping to make them laugh. And most of the time she did. She has some hilarious stories. The one about the false teeth is great. But when she wrote this story, it made a lot of people tear up. It made people think about this devoted group of young women and their mother, and this group of women who ate potatoes for a month, who did without electric lights and the radio, and were able to give $70 to the church. How they went from feeling rich to feeling poor, and then finally were assured that they were truly rich. I was curious about this woman, about Eddie, and so I looked up the rest of her story, wondering what had happened to her. And it's rather remarkable. Eddie described her growing up this way. He said, "We didn't have much, but everything we had was shared with everybody else. If any kid needed a place to stay, we took them in. If anybody didn't have clothing, Mom would do everything she could to come up with something for them. With bounty to share, it never occurred to Eddie that they didn't have enough." And perhaps that explains why she and her husband, Phil, had 13 children, 12 of them adopted, and over the lifetime, they fostered 77 more children. In truth, neither the fostering nor the adoption was exactly in Eddie and Phil's long-range plans. When on their eighth adoption, their caseworker asked how many children they planned to adopt, Phil told her, "We never planned to adopt, but I was raised without anyone telling me that they loved me. So if it's a matter of another child not having anyone to tell them that they're loved, well, I do love them." In particular, Phil, Eddie's husband, had a heart for Korean children. He was a highly decorated serviceman who served for 6 years in Korea. And he had a lot of nightmares about babies that were left lying alongside the road and not being able to do anything about it. Eddie says that it bothered him that so many children were fathered by American servicemen in Korea, and then they weren't socially acceptable in Korea. So they adopted three girls from Korea. And those three girls decided that they wanted a baby brother, so they began to pray for a little brother. Eddie and Phil weren't sure that they could afford to adopt another child. And then they heard about a four-year-old Korean boy named Tom. Tom had had polio and couldn't walk. But by then, God apparently had heard the girls' prayers, and Eddie got pregnant, even though she was pretty sure she couldn't have children. And so they put Tom on hold, and Eddie gave birth to a baby boy named Timothy. And while it might not have been the perfect time to adopt another child, they thought about it, and they decided that they had to save up the money for a plane ticket to bring Tom to the United States so they could adopt him. But then the roof started to leak, and so they had to use the money for Tom's airline ticket to repair the roof. And Phil was just heartsick about this little boy, so much so that he couldn't even talk about it. And then, on Christmas Eve, the Lord spoke to him and told him that if he adopted Tom, God would always take care of them. God told them they would never go without. And so they borrowed the money to bring Tom home. And he learned to walk. Well, Phil and Eddie now had five children under the age of seven at home. However, Eddie was able to take off from her family duties and go to a three-day church conference. And she picked up a booklet while she was there that listed all of the missionaries that had been sent out from her church district, 40 of them in all. And then she got that divine nudge. She felt God leading her to write to all 40 of those missionaries all over the world. She says, "I felt like God spoke to me and wanted me to write to these missionaries." And Eddie said, "Immediately, I told the Lord, I couldn't do that. I haven't even been to Bible school. These were missionaries. They're just one or two steps under God." And she says, the Lord then told her, "They don't need your theology. They need your sense of humor." And so missionary children around the world came to know her as Aunt Edie. Though they'd never met her, she would put things in the envelopes, like maybe sticks of gum or Band-Aids or packs of Kool-Aid. And that list of 40 kept growing because the missionaries would then pass the letters on and someone else would read them and they'd ask to be added to the list. And with five children at home, she never seemed to lack for material to put into those letters. There were anecdotes about her growing up years and about her kids, and one of those anecdotes was the rich family in church. And in the meantime, Eddie and Phil had adopted several more children and begun foster parenting. Eddie said she was raised with so much love and affection that she felt sorry for the ones who didn't have it. And when the youngest of their seven children entered kindergarten, she said, "I was home all alone. And I knew we could afford to invite in some more kids." And so they had children from age 17 down to infancy who stayed under their roof, and four foster children were ultimately adopted into the Ogun family. And so by the time that they finally, Phil and Eddie finally let their foster parent license expire, they had fostered 77 children. She stopped writing letters to missionaries because in 1979, the church got a new minister, and he disapproved of Eddie using the church mimeograph machine for copying her letters. And so she put that aside for a while. But in the late 1980s, she went on a mission trip herself, and she met missionaries, and they said, "Oh, we thought you were dead. We missed your letters so much." And then a missionary actually came and visited her, and he said, "Oh, those letters meant so much to me when you sent them to my parents as I was growing up. So please, can you write them again?" And she did start writing them again. She wrote to upwards of 200 missionaries. Well, Eddie died in 2019 at the age of 88. And if human worth was measured by the amount of love one has spread throughout the world, Eddie was one of the richest people around. See what love the Father has given us, writes John, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. I could never match Eddie for love. She was truly an exceptional person. But see what love the Father has given us all, that we might give it away and become rich in the process. May you be rich in the Spirit today. May you show someone today that you love them. Amen. Well, it takes a lot of love for this church service to happen. Of course, it happens on the air, on Facebook, and it happens in person. And sometimes it happens out in the parking lot as people receive the service there. And so I am so thankful for everyone, from the one who brings the flowers to the one who videotapes the service, to the ones who put something in the offering plate. So let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you for all the ways that we become the body of Christ, all the ways that we come together so that we might praise and glorify your name. Lord, bless all of those who have worked towards this. And whether it's just by watching on Facebook or whether it's by being in the building, Lord, bless us. Bless us and help us to continue to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we live and breathe. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. If you have a prayer request and you're online, or even if you're here in the sanctuary, you can text that to 540-495-0501. And I want to start out with some... it's a joy and an announcement that Katie and Curtis Fox have a little girl. Virginia Sue Fox was born this week, and her grandparents, proud grandparents, I expect, are Dave and Elizabeth Williams. And I don't know if I announced it last week or not, but Jordan and Bradley Dunsmore the previous week had a little boy named Sawyer. So, and of course, proud grandparents are Mark and Jackie Dunsmore. Other announcements after church next week, we are planning on having a hike, so bring your walking shoes, and we're going to head out to a lunch and head out to the trail after the service. Although if it is pouring down rain, we will not be going. Unlike the Smith girls, we won't be walking in the rain. And we are still collecting things for Green Hanger. So if you're cleaning out your closets and have some gently used clothing, you can bring those into the church. And we are looking for people to share names of their graduates. We are going to be celebrating Graduate Sunday coming up, so please let Cindy in the office know if you have a graduate at home. And I think, are there any other announcements? All right. I know among our prayer concerns, it is a joy that Judy Faby, who spent, golly, I believe she was 6 weeks in the hospital and then was in rehab, has come home. And she wants to say thank you for everyone who sent her cards, and she was very encouraged by that. But we want to continue to be in prayer for her, and I am checking to see. And so I also refer you to our prayer list in the happenings. And we want to be in prayer for Ken Shiflett's family, who passed away this past week. Do we have any other prayer concerns? Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious and loving Creator, we come before you today, and we come before you with with praise and thanksgiving, with joys and concerns. And we praise you for our many blessings. You are so amazing. And you have created this world in which we live. And it is almost too beautiful for words. Lord, your grace never ends, and you are the embodiment of love itself. You call us into your family. You claim us. You adopt us. How can we say thank you for all of that? And Lord, sometimes, though, we complain, we grumble, we say, I don't have enough, or I don't have what I need. But Lord, continue to help us to see what we do have. Help us to see where our lives have been touched by you. And if we don't appreciate it, Lord, stay with us. Help us to see how amazing you are. Lord, we pray this morning for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the promise of the resurrection to bring new life. We pray for those who are in need of healing, whether it is in body or in spirit. We pray for those that need wholeness in their lives. Gracious God, give us the words to say. Give us the time and the silence to open our hearts to you so that we might draw near and be remade, reborn, renewed. All of this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And at this time, let us stand as we're able, and we can hum along to Lift High the Cross. As you go forth, know that you are claimed. You are called beloved because you are. And you are called beloved so that you might love others. Amen.